Well, praise the Lord. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Let's get right in the Word of God here this morning. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity we have as your children gather together to worship you and in spirit and truth. And we thank you for the Word of God. I make it known that I'm not trusting or depending on limited human ability to teach today, but I am trusting in you. Therefore, I know without doubt that you anoint my mind that I might grasp the revelation that will rise in abundance from our heart within. I thank you for a supernatural recall of the scripture. I believe that your word will go out from my mouth, carried by your anointing, power, and love to each person's mind, bringing understanding, removing confusion. To every heart that faith will rise and fear will leave. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that's revealed and accomplished through your word and by your spirit here today in Jesus' name. And all those who love the Lord said,
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated. I'd like to take a moment and just mention briefly that I'm very proud of my brother Henry. I am very proud of him and I love him very much, and it's an honor for me to be here today. And the anointing of God in this church is really very strong, very strong. He is a man of faith, a man of courage, a man of integrity, a man of love. And his wife, Jackie, has stood by his side all these years. And for that, I commend her. I'm sure it hasn't been easy, but she stuck it out and hats off to Jackie. And so, thank you for inviting me to come minister to your people. Amen. All right, would you kindly open your Bible today to 1 Peter 5, verse 7 from the Amplified Translation? 1 Peter 5, verse 7 from the Amplified Translation. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Jesus. For he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. The title of my message today is, you guessed, Don't Crack Under Pressure. All of us have pressure in our lives from one time or another. Amen? I've had my fair share, and I know that Dr. Henry has had his fair share. But today we're going to learn the simple principles that have helped us through the years from the Scripture, and I believe it'll help you too. Don't crack under pressure. It's not necessary. Psalm 55 and verse 22 says, cast all your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. So we see here that he cares about us affectionately, and he cares about us watchfully, and he'll never permit the righteous to be moved. He will sustain us if we will cast our care upon the Lord. Philippians 4:6 gives us the 1-2 step of casting our cares upon the Lord from the New King James Translation. It says, be anxious for nothing. That means don't worry. So many Christians are world champion warriors. Amen? But God says so many times in his word, don't worry. Be happy. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So step one is pray, ask God for what you need, and step two will be thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. See, there has to come a time when we stop asking and we start thanking. Until we cross over from asking to thanking, we have never entered the realm of faith. See, asking is not faith. Receiving and then thanking is faith. There must be a time in your day when you write down the date, the time, and you say, I believe God's heard this prayer. I don't have to keep asking him. I know he's got it under control. From now on, I'm going to thank him because he's working on it. Are you following me? All right, so we have to give thanks. That's how we make our request known. Say that. Every request I make to God must be accompanied with thanksgiving. And if we'll do that, if we'll enter the dimension of thanksgiving, this is what will happen. Verse 7. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we're walking in thanksgiving, we are also experiencing peace. If we're not experiencing peace but stress instead, we have to stop and evaluate our thanksgiving. If we are giving thanks correctly and appropriately and completely, we will walk in peace because we'll know the assurance of God will overwhelm our hearts and keep us like he promises. And if we're not walking in that peace, we're walking in our own strength and our own effort and we're stressed out. Whenever I get stressed out, I stop and ask myself, hey, listen, stop doing this. Let God do it through you. Because Paul found that out. He said, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. This life shouldn't be a stressful one. When the devil comes knocking on your door with doubt and unbelief, open the door and say to him, Mr. Devil, I'm sure you're looking for the problem-solving department. That's upstairs in the throne room. This is the praising department. Cheers, and close the door. All right, now, here is a great example of how not to crack under pressure. King Jehoshaphat, the nation of Judah, a very small nation, were facing total annihilation and destruction. Three kings marching out to them to war, each one many times larger than the small army of Judah. So let's pick up the story, please, together from 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. We know that Jehoshaphat called the nation of Judah together and prayed and asked God for help. There's the prayer, asking for help. The Bible says that God spoke through a young prophet and said the following in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15. Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. I'm sure we've all read that. The battle is not yours, but God's. Do not be afraid. Battle is not yours. In other words, God is saying, do not be concerned about these armies. I've got this. God is saying, don't worry about that. I've got this. I'm taking care of this for you, right? Now, that's wonderful if only God would say that to us. Well, he did. Jesus said in 1 Peter 5, 7, give me your problem. We just read it. Casting all your care upon me. He said, give me your problem. That's in the New Testament, right? God is saying exactly the same thing that he said to Jehoshaphat. He said to all of us, give me your problem. I want to solve it for you. Let go of it completely. God has a covenant with each of us. And he is our covenant partner. He wants to fight our battles for us. Amen? That's what covenant means. God will fight for us. All right, verse 17. God says to the prophet, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. So tomorrow go out against the army and know that God is with you. Right? Now he said, I'm with you always, did he not?
Yes.
Even at the end of the age. And I'll never leave you and forsake you. So he said exactly the same thing to us. Did he not say that? Right. We need to learn to rest in the ability of our God, our covenant partner who loves us. Our part is to praise him. His part is to take care of us. And that's what he wants. Amen? That's what he wants to do. He wants to take care of us. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when King Jehoshaphat had counseled with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise, and that Hebrew word there is hallel, the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying. Now, before we read what he was saying, what they were saying, that word hallel there in Hebrew, it's going up on the screen right now, it means to enjoy a tremendous explosion of enthusiasm in the act of praising God. Amen. To enjoy a tremendous explosion of enthusiasm in the act of praising God. I don't know if you've ever watched a European or World Cup soccer game. How many of you ever seen any kind of major soccer game? Now, when their teams are playing, they will very often sing. The whole stadium will just sing their song together. All right? And then when a goal is scored, it's the whole stadium erupts. Everybody stands up and they go totally ballistic. Now, I know they do the same in basketball and they do the same in football, but it just seems to, because that goal is so sudden, and because it could be shot from 20 yards out and it could go in there, everybody just seems to get excited. And there's only two or three goals, maybe five goals in the whole game. So each one of those goals is a serious happening. The whole stadium erupts. Now that, I believe, would be a good explanation of that word hallel. Now my question is, if we can do that for sports, and for our sports stars, can we not do that for Jesus, who's done a lot more for us? Isn't that true? So then, they went out singing as they marched to war. They were praising God and singing as they marched to war, saying, God is good and his mercy endures forever. And that's what they were singing, praising God. And I need to make this very clear at this point in time. Nothing had changed. All those soldiers were out in the battlefield waiting. They were outnumbered 10, maybe 100 times to 1. Nothing had changed. Yet they were happy and singing and praising God as they marched out to war. The enemy was still there. The problem was staring him in the face. You might be in a situation that like that right now, where you are facing a severe problem in your life. I don't know if your life's being threatened. I don't know. But theirs were, the whole nation threatened with annihilation. Right? And they're marching out, not scattering, not running away, marching to the enemy, singing and praising God and rejoicing, like that word says. Can you see that? They were rejoicing and praising God because not that the problem had gone, but because God said, the battle is mine. God said the battle was his. So based upon that statement, they are rejoicing and praising God. Based on the word of a man who stood up and said, this is what God says. Are you tracking me? If they can take the word of a man who says, this is what God says, and the whole army can walk towards their enemy, praising God, singing and rejoicing based on this statement, God's got this. This battle is the Lord's. That's what they were praising God on, that promise. We can do the same thing. We can take a promise from the Word of God, and we can raise our hands and we can praise Him and know that our problem is defeated because God said so. Even if we're looking at the problem square in the face. Even if we are in the heat of the battle, in the eye of the storm, we can raise our hands and praise Him because His promise is sure. He's the answer to our prayers. So they began to sing. Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. And that word praise there is yada. The Hebrew word for praise here is yada, which means to acknowledge God's greatness in public. By throwing out the hands and begin to proclaim to the unsaved enemy what God has done. To throw out the hands and praise God in public. Pronouncing what great things God has done. In other words, testifying that God has got this in front of the enemy. Looking at your problem, saying, I want you to know, Mr. Problem, God has got this. So I'm going to praise Him because He said it. Amen? That is faith. That is faith. Faith becomes the evidence of the thing you can't see. Even though the problem is there, God says your faith is the evidence. All I need, God says, is your faith. And you can count on one thing. When you exercise praise to God, God says, it's over. I've got this. I've got this. Amen? That's how it works. So, very important. They are not praising God to remove the problem. They're not praising God to remove the problem. No. They are praising God because the Word said He's got the problem. As far as they're concerned, they don't have a problem. They're praising God because He has a problem, not them. Therefore, it's over. We don't praise God to remove the problem. That's still praying. That's still requesting. We've got to cross over to the other side where we don't have the problem because God has got it. Amen? We're going to see ourselves free and clear. As far as they are concerned, they don't have a problem anymore. Even though the circumstances haven't changed. Say this, we praise God for His Word. 1 Peter 5:7 says, God's got my problem when I give it to Him. Amen. 22. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. The armies of Moab and Ammon, now if Abraham had never taken Lot from Ur of the Chaldeans to Canaan, this war would not have happened. Because these are his children. They're the children of Lot. You need to get my book on the price of a decision. So, the armies of Moab and Ammon turn against the allies from Mount Seir and kill every one of them. After they had finished off the army of Seir, they turned on each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, there were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Not one survived. Thousands upon thousands of soldiers said, we cannot wait for the army of Judah. We'll just kill ourselves instead. They ran out of patience. Verse 25. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. Now, here is an entire army of Judah couldn't carry the diamonds, the rubies, the emerald, the gold. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil because there's so much. This army traveled backwards and forward from the battlefield for 3 days, taking home the diamonds, the emeralds, the rubies, the sapphires, the gold, the silver. There must have been a lot of it. 3 days. So what's the moral of that story? Well, whenever Satan brings problems, if you worship God, God will turn it into a blessing. The worshiper, to you, problems are simply blessings in disguise. To the worshiper, problems are simply blessings in disguise. You may not see the blessing, but when you praise God, He is great enough to change that. Take that piece of coal and turn it into a diamond. The moment we begin to praise God, the battle is the Lord's. Let's say this together. The moment we begin to praise God, the battle is the Lord's. All right, keep praising God each step you take. When you get the problem, it'll be gone. Learn to praise God in the presence of your enemy. Learn to praise God in the presence of your problem. Again, we do not praise God to remove the problem. We praise God after we have given the problem to God because we believe He has taken care of it. He's got it. Amen? We believe He's got it. That's faith. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho. They marched around the city walls for 7 days, once per day. On the seventh day, they marched around 7 times. And then God said to Joshua, on the seventh time, blow the trumpets and know that I have given you, because I have given you the city. I have given you the city. All right? They're standing outside the largest walls of probably any city that they'd ever seen. Largest walls. They had houses up there. Okay? Houses up there. The prostitute, is it Rahab? She lived in one of those houses. They used to have chariot races up there. Because I've been there several times, and so that's what they tell us. Now, anyway, they're standing outside. They do not have the modern equipment to get those walls out the way. There's no way they can conquer those walls, the natural. And I guess the Jerichoites were standing on the wall looking down and thinking, these poor nuts, they've gone bananas. They're walking around every day, and no one's saying a word. Because Joshua said, you're not allowed to speak. Because he remembers 40 years before when they spoke, what happened. We're not having that again. All right, no one's going to speak. All I want you to do is we're going to blow the trumpet, then we're going to shout and praise God, because God said He has given us the city. All right, they're praising God as if they'd conquered the city while they're standing outside the city and the walls are up. Have you got me? They're standing outside the city praising God like they've conquered the city. And the walls are still standing. Why? Because God said, I've given you the city. So they're praising God because of those words. I have given you the city. They're not praising God because the walls fell down. They hadn't fallen down. They're praising God simply because God said, I've given you the city. And when they praise God because he said, I've given you the city, like they'd already conquered the city because he said, I've given it to you. Then what happened? That act of praising God is faith. God knocked the walls down. They fell down flat and they ran in and defeated their enemy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks. Not for everything, but in everything. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Say that. God wants me to praise him in every circumstance. Why? So he can deliver me. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So the word of God says we praise the Father through Jesus Christ. So Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise you because you've got this problem. And you are taking care of me. Amen? Doesn't matter how big the walls look. It doesn't matter how big the walls look. God's bigger than Jericho. Doesn't matter how many army out there, God's bigger than those army, than that army. The bottom line is always remember to feed your faith and then worship God. That's as simple as we can make it. Feed your faith on the word, on the promise. Find that promise that meets your need and then meditate on it and then praise God for the word. Praise him for that word. One scripture is enough to get the job done. One statement, I've given you the city, knock the walls down. Are you with me? When God said to Jehoshaphat, to the prophet, the battle is the Lord's, that statement was enough to conquer thousands of soldiers, enemy soldiers. The battle is the Lord's. It wasn't thousands of scriptures. Now, all thousands will work, but you really only need one. One will do. All of God's power is in every verse. Not divide up into all of his words, no. All of his power is in every verse. God himself is behind every statement he makes. Amen? Anyone you choose that you enjoy using will work for you. Amen? Amen. Amen? Yeah. Say this, nothing can stop the word of God from working for me. I want to close the two little quick stories about 3 years ago. We were having a celebration in September, October in South Africa. The churches from all over the world came together. Well, the pastors did anyway. And so I was ministering and Dr. Bev was ministering along with other guest speakers. And we got home late that night. We went to sleep. About 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone rang in the house phone, in South Africa. And Bev got up and grabbed the phone, and I saw her face change. She didn't say a word. She listened for about 2 minutes, walked over to me, and I was lying in bed. I was awake watching her. And she handed me the phone, didn't say a word. I said, hello. It was my daughter Candace, our daughter Candace. She was changing her baby Troy at the time. And he was about 10 months old on a tabletop, you know, what do you call those things? Changing table. And she grabbed something on the next to her, and he wriggled off that table and fell off the other side of it before she could keep a hold of him. And he fell on the concrete floor on his head. And she heard it thud and then thud again. And it was about 3.5 feet high, I guess that thing is. So they rushed him to hospital. They x-rayed him. And they said his skull is cracked, his brain is bleeding. And they were in the hospital being sent by that. They were in the ambulance being sent by that hospital to another hospital to treat this child because they couldn't help the child. And the doctor said there's a very slim chance for the child to survive with a bleeding brain. So they called us from the ambulance. And so I said to Candace on the phone, I said, Candace, everything's going to be fine. We'll pray. We'll pray. Don't worry. Everything's going to be fine. I go the phone back to Bev, and I lay there for about a minute, and I said, Holy Spirit, what scripture do you give me now? I need that word that we talked about. Right? That word. This battle is the Lord's. That word. So, immediately the Holy Spirit said to me, Numbers 14:28. Numbers 14:28. Now, Numbers 14:28 says, God told Moses, tell the children of Israel when they're standing at the promised land, and the 10 spies came back with a negative report, and 2 came back with a positive report. God said, Moses, tell the children of Israel, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do unto you. And I said, Holy Spirit, why do you give me that verse? That's not really a healing verse as such. And then these words came up. The Lord said, I am waiting to hear what you're going to say now so I can act. So I jumped out of bed. And I told Bev what the Lord said. And together we held hands and we declared, in the name of Jesus Christ, Troy is healed. He will live and not die. That brain is healed. That skull is healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And while praying in the Holy Ghost, I texted a confession to, because they were all rushed to the hospital, to Natalie and her husband, Natalie and Lawrence, and of course we knew, and to Travis and to Candace, and to Travis's parents. And I sent the same text, copied and pasted to each one of them. And the text went something like this. This is our confession. Let's agree, don't change it. Troy is healed. There's nothing wrong with him. In the name of Jesus, he is fine. And so they all began to confess that Troy is healed. There's nothing wrong with him. He's fine. In the name of Jesus. They traveled to the next hospital. They did other x-rays on him. Couldn't find anything wrong with him. Well, we prayed in the Holy Ghost for about 3 hours, and then we sang in spirit. That's what we did. I'll tell you one more story. Little Ella is 3 years old. That's Natalie and Lawrence's little girl. That's our grandbaby as well. They went for swimming lessons, and she picked up what the doctors all said was staph. And in a matter of hours, her skin began to fall off of her body till 8% of her skin was fallen off and her body fluids was coming out of her body everywhere because there's no skin to hold the body fluids in her body. So in the morning, now this happened on the Friday. Then on Saturday morning, it seemed like overnight, they woke up in the morning and this was the condition of the child. So they rushed her to a hospital. And the doctors came in, examined her. And I went to the prayer meeting. I was at the prayer meeting and I was notified that it's a three-hour prayer meeting we have every Saturday morning in the church. I was at the prayer meeting when I got the text to say, Ella is in hospital. This is what's happened. So I texted back and said, when I'm done with the prayer meeting, I'll come pray for her. So the prayer meeting finished. It starts at 9, finishes at 1. No, it starts at 10, finishes at 1. So I got there about 1:30 to the hospital. And the doctors were getting ready to come and take blood tests from her to establish exactly what virus was in her body. But when she arrived at the hospital, they had these doctors come out and look at her. And conditioners said, no doubt, this is staph. It's a virus attacking her skin. And she couldn't move. The child could stand and was just screaming in pain. So I sat down with her while she was standing in front of me. And I had to ask her if she could put a hand on my hand. And she kind of kept her legs straight, shuffled over to me and put her hand on my hand. And then, because I needed her cooperation. If she wasn't going to cooperate, it's not going to work. So she put her hand on my hand, and I said to Natalie and Lawrence, just agree with me. We prayed. I bound the virus in the name of Jesus, command the healing in the name of Jesus, because Jesus paid for it at the cross. It's our inheritance. We have to accept it, receive it, claim it. God wants us to claim it. Amen. So I claimed it because that's what Peter did outside the beautiful gate of the temple in Acts chapter 3. He said, I don't have silver and gold. My wife keeps a wallet, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Right? And then in Acts chapter 4, when the Pharisees asked him, Acts 4 verse 6, what happened? How did you do that? They said, by the name of Jesus, by him, this man stands here before you whole. By the name and by him. Because the name and Jesus are synonymous. They work together. It's the same thing. Jesus, whatever you command in my name, I'll do it. The name is given to us to represent Jesus on the earth today. We command not God to do things. We command circumstances to line up with the will of God and the purpose and plan of God. We are speaking on his behalf, right? Okay. So, I said, I command this body to be healed. I command this virus to die in the name of Jesus. And so, when we finished praying, I said to Natalie and Lawrence, I said, these doctors are coming in here to do a blood test. Now, when they get the results back, please understand, there will be no trace of any disease in that test. Because they come in and do the test after we've prayed. The virus is dead. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
So they came and took the blood test. Now, Monday, Tuesday, didn't seem like there was any change in her body. We just kept worshiping God, thanking him that it's done. Right. Like we learned today. Praising God, we believe it's done. I explained to all of them, we don't pray, we don't panic, we just keep praising God and worshiping God. It is done.
Amen.
Amen. Amen? By Wednesday, the doctors came in and there was no sign of any raw skin on her body. And they discharged her. And they said, the blood test came back on Wednesday, and the doctor said, there's no trace of any virus in her blood. She's not contagious, and she looks perfectly normal. You can take her home. Okay? So, we applied the simple principle we learned about today. Amen? We ask, and then we praise. That's the key. Praise the Lord. Could you kindly close your eyes and bow your heads? Thank you very much.